Welcome back to the Brittany Hughes Show. Happy Thursday, everybody. A viral video has absolutely exploded across TikTok, or at least so I've heard. I don't actually have TikTok. But usually when something goes viral on TikTok, it takes like 2 seconds for it to make it to Instagram and Twitter slash X, whatever. And so apparently it's triggered some massive amount of controversy because I've seen it on these other platforms. And apparently this is like a really big deal this week. And it was very interesting. At first, I kind of just poo-pooed it a little bit, but then I dug deeper into it, and I think there's something here. So in this video, if you have seen it, there's a woman by the name of Este Williams, or at least that's what she goes by online. I'm not sure if it's her actual name or not. But in any case, Williams is 26 years old. She's a former bodybuilder, of all things, and now she lives in Richmond, Virginia. And she started posting videos in March of 2022 on TikTok and Instagram. And now she has like 170,000 followers on TikTok alone, right? In 2 years. And she's gotten millions upon millions of video views for her clips where she talks about being a trad wife, which is a slang term short for traditional wife, a trad wife, right? And she talks about cooking from scratch and, you know, how younger women are trying to relearn that skill because we're all used to ultra processed food now and weren't necessarily taught how to cook, which frankly is true. She talks about how women trying to have a family and also working full time are facing burnout, which is also very true. Studies have shown that. She discusses how God created two distinctly separate genders, which is absolutely true. And of course, she does all of this while dressed in modest sort of vintage clothing that looks a lot like, you know, what you would think of as like a 1950s housewife. And in this latest video, Williams is standing in her kitchen, which is, of course, pristine and perfectly organized. And she's wearing this light pink button-down cardigan blouse and a sort of, you know, retro hairstyle with the soft waves, you know. And it's not quite to the level of a costume. It's not like that. It's normal clothes and normal hair, but with kind of a vintage slant to it. So you can kind of tell the look that she's going for. And there's like a vintage looking, it looks like a microwave on the counter behind her. So there's clearly like an old school sheen that's being put on this, right? And she proceeds in this video to explain to her viewers, apparently not for the first time, an arrangement that she says she has with her husband and sort of the unofficial rules that they've agreed to for their marriage, which includes things like, you know, knowing where each other are at all times and not having opposite sex friends. And she says she tries to wear clothes that her husband likes and wear her hair the way he likes. And she also explains that in their home, her husband is the head of the household, which is a biblical model of a family structure. So I'm going to actually play this video in its entirety. It's a few minutes long, but I want you to listen to the whole thing because I don't want to be accused of selectively editing her words or twisting what she says or whatever. Because I think that what she says and what she doesn't say are actually really important details here. And then I want to talk about why this has created such a massive stir on social media. So here we go.
Welcome back to part two of some conventional or unconventional things me and my husband do in our marriage. So the first one is I don't leave the house after dark by myself. This is not a control thing. This is a safety thing. I've had a couple encounters and I don't wish to have any more. Along with leaving the house, I always notify my husband when I'm gonna go somewhere and when I arrive. It's safety. Why not, right? And we always share locations with each other. I really recommend the Life 360 app. It notifies you when your partner arrives or leaves, and it notifies you if their battery is low. I love it. Number two, we don't do opposite sex friendships. I don't think a woman needs to have a male best friend. Why? Why? Any companionship or company that I need, I can get from another woman. Number three, and this one's gonna ruffle some feathers. I submit and I serve my husband. This is a biblical thing, so don't twist this into something that it's not. It is a blessing to be my husband's helpmate, and the Bible has the man of the household, not the woman, so he leads. Number four, we don't involve any outsiders or family members into our disputes. This is important because arguments, disagreements, whatever, need to stay within the marriage. And when you involve other people, it causes more issues and most likely people choose sides and you just don't want that. Number five, I take my husband's preferences into consideration. So with my hair, my clothes, I like to wear the things that he likes. And typically he's not gonna like something that is so outside of my norm. He's gonna like the things that he sees me happiest in, and that's usually pink and bright colors. And he loves my hair more naturally curly, so that's what I do most of the time. A lot of the comments in my other video, people were asking, what does he do for me? And I just want to correct you guys on something. A lot of Western women don't sit here and think, what can I do to make my man happy? No, they think, what is he gonna do to make me happy? You guys don't understand the benefits that you reap when you think about your partner before yourself.
Okay, so there you have it. And she's got multiple videos like this all over her Instagram and her TikTok. Some are her baking things, some are her discussing different topics, some are her, you know, talking about, you know, her marriage, whatever. This is kind of her shtick, right? And it's important to note on the onset here, first and foremost, that she and all other Instagram influencers sort of, you know, just like her, they're selling a brand, right? That's what influencers do on TikTok and Instagram. They sell brands. They sell a lifestyle, whether that's really what their day-to-day actually looks like or not. They are creating a product to be consumed by an online audience. Some of these people make millions of dollars doing this. I have no idea if this woman does or not. I just know that you can actually make millions of dollars selling just a lifestyle, much less if you start getting paid to peddle products, which some of these people do, right? They sell, you know, essential oils or eyelash serum or I don't know, sourdough starter kits, whatever it may be. And the intent is just to that, right? To influence. And the danger here with any of these people, not just this particular woman, but any of this, this is, I think, as much as social media has provided us access to disseminating and sharing information, I think, you know, it has been helpful in keeping up with people and keeping connections that may have been much more difficult before the advent of social media. There are good points to social media, but this, I think, is one of the biggest detractors to social media, because the danger here, whether it's this woman in this video and the whole trad wife thing or, you know, home decor, whatever it is, far from just influencing you to buy a product or try a certain thing or to even just watch a video so the person who made it can rake in the bucks from the video views, these videos can often have the detrimental effect of making you very discontent and unhappy with your own life, right? It's like you can have a nice house with nice things and be comfortable, and you start watching videos of people with, you know, unrealistic homes where, I mean, you've all seen them, right? Where they've got, you know, perfectly matched furniture and everything is beautifully staged and decorated, and, you know, the color palette is absolutely pristine, and it starts to make you look at what you've got with, you know, your sofa and your chair are kind of mismatched and don't quite fit the room, and then you got that table over there that you got from your grandma and you can't get rid of it, but it's kind of old, and, you know, you've never really liked that rug, but you don't have, you know, $600 to go out and buy a new one. And you start to get unhappy with what you have. And you start to look at your life and compare it to this unrealistic expectation. And this happens to us all the time. And social media is absolutely rife with stuff like this. So whenever you're looking at these videos, whenever you're watching any of this kind of content, again, not just specifically this woman or this issue, but any of this stuff, you've got to be really, really careful not to let all of this seep into your brain. Because I think what has started to happen is, you know, I have found myself sometimes even as a mom, right, comparing myself not to what somebody else is actually doing, but the image that they are putting online for everybody to see, like that's who they really are. And this can be extremely problematic. I also want to remind you that all of these people that seem to have this shiny, happy life that you envy, that you think would be better, or that you're failing to achieve or live up to or whatever, making these videos as somebody who does put content on social media, that takes time. It takes a lot of time. If you are watching somebody talk about, you know, how present they are with their children and how much time they spend with their children, and or something like that, you know, or a day in the life of this perfect happy family, it takes a lot of time to set up, film, edit, and post all of that stuff. This is a job. This is a moneymaker. So just whenever you're watching any of this stuff, keep that in mind and don't let yourself go down the rabbit hole of, wow, I wish my life looked like that. Because so often that's not a real snapshot into what that person's actual day-to-day looks like. So that's important to point out. But I will say specifically this topic, this idea of a trad wife, and the fact that this woman has hit the spotlight this week because of videos like this, and in particular this video, I think for understandable reasons, the idea of the traditional wife has become increasingly popular with online viewers. And the fact that this woman absolutely blew up this week, I think is a very important key thing to talk about. The idea of the trad wife, the traditional wife, has become popular, I think, in part because of the COVID pandemic, when everybody stayed home, you know, and all of a sudden everybody was kind of thrust back into domesticity. A lot of people who had not actually spent a lot of time in their home during the week. And it sort of changed the way we view a work-life balance, right? And in part because it is true, whether you subscribe to the trad wife lifestyle or not, that many women, particularly married moms, are facing burnout from full-time, high-pressure jobs and how to balance that with having a family and children. And however antiquated and, you know, ridiculous that leftists try to convince us that it is, many women find the idea of being able to take care of their home and raise their children without the added pressure of working themselves into the ground for, you know, 40 or 50 hours a week appealing, even if it's not always financially doable. Right? Even if they truly love their job or whatever, it's this insane pressure to cram so many responsibilities and activities into a 24-hour day that just becomes untenable. And women are feeling that. In fact, it has been studied and it has a name. It's called the paradox of increasing female unhappiness. And there are news articles and journal articles and entire research projects on this subject. In 2016, two economists named Betsy Stevenson and Justin Wolfers, they looked at the number of polls or a number of polls and a number of surveys spanning between the 1970s and the 21st century, and they found that American women rated their overall life satisfaction higher than men in the 1970s. That has now been reversed. Women's happiness scores decreased while men's scores stayed roughly stable for the next 20 years. Then by the 1990s, women were suddenly less happy than men for the first time in recorded history. This relative unhappiness got slightly better after the turn of the century, but then continued to plummet. And this is echoed over and over and over and over again. If you just Google the phrase, why are women miserable, you will find an endless supply of studies that show women are reporting far higher levels of unhappiness, anxiety, and depression than ever before. And this is despite all of the achievements in women's rights and equality and whatever. You will find gobs of researchers and experts trying to figure out why this is happening. It's amazing. In a 2023 article from The Conversation, it reads, Quote, something strange is going on in women's happiness research because despite having more freedom and employment opportunities than ever before, women have higher levels of anxiety and more mental health challenges such as depression, anger, loneliness, and more restless sleep. The article goes on to cite an absolute mountain of studies and surveys and all this wellness research that has continually found women are far more unhappy, not just compared to men, but compared to women from previous generations. And what's amazing is the article then suggests ways on how to deal with these feelings, including, get this now, this is an actual suggestion on how to deal with chronic anxiety and depression. Going for a walk, seeing a therapist, and exercising. All of which, by the way, so many of these women don't actually have the time to do, and that's part of the problem. When this article says this is a curious phenomenon that is ridiculous and intentionally obtuse, it's not curious at all. We just don't want to admit the problem that's staring us directly in the face, and that's that women, particularly married women with children, are shouldering the burden of domestic life, child-rearing, homemaking, the million things that fall under all of these broad categories, all while also trying to shoulder the burden of financially providing and domestically leading, which we were never meant to do in the first place. We were not created to bear those burdens. It's not that those burdens are bad. It's not that we're too stupid to do it. That's just not what we were made to do. So now we're trying to play both roles, right? And now, please understand what I'm saying here. This is not to say that women can't make money or have jobs or that they can't be allowed to make decisions. I'm not saying that. Don't go to some opposite extreme that I'm not saying. I'm talking about bearing the financial responsibility of the roof over your head and the food in your fridge while also trying to figure out how to clean your home and cook the food. And this oftentimes comes at the expense of things like raising your own children, which you now have to give to someone else to do. And you're trying to succeed at a high-pressure career that is constantly demanding more of your time and your energy, only to come home to a whole other set of responsibilities that you feel naturally inclined to shoulder because it's how you were made. And there's an unbelievable weight that comes with trying to do all of this every day, all the time. So the lifestyle of the traditional wife, however it's packaged online, however that may look in your particular circumstance, whether it looks realistic or completely outside of your reach, the lifestyle of the traditional wife offers a reprieve from all of this, and it's gaining in popularity. Now, just that being said, like with most influencers online, there's no real way of knowing, at least for me, and you know, anybody who doesn't actually know this particular woman, this Estee Williams, or follow her on the regular, it's impossible to know whether any of the stuff that she puts on social media is actually real. It could be a genuine testimonial. It could be, you know, cosplaying by a person who's just making all this stuff up to get clicks. I have no idea. And that's part of my main problem with this type of content online. So I do, though, think it's important to note that there's a fundamental underlying reason why so many women are gravitating towards these kinds of videos. Otherwise, they wouldn't be getting any views, and these people would not have hundreds of thousands of followers. Somebody is watching this. Somebody is clicking on this. Somebody is liking and sharing this. Someone finds this appealing, and a whole lot of someones, apparently. And I think this speaks to a larger cultural and societal issue that we're facing. Whether you find this lifestyle appealing yourself or not, it's simply a fact that many people do, and there's a reason for that. Which brings me to my next point. There are a lot of people online right now who are taking issue not just with the authenticity of this woman's story, which is certainly, of course, debatable, and that's a fair question, but they're not taking issue with sort of the look of all of this and, you know, the sheen that is put on it. They're taking issue with the actual words that she's saying. Okay. So the problem is not with the fact that she looks like June Cleaver with her, you know, spotless white cabinets and her retro microwave and all of that. If that were the rub, then I would get it, right? If we want to talk about the authenticity of Instagram influencers and whether or not people should actually be aspiring to look like someone that may or may not be just putting on a show for money, then we can have that conversation. But that's not the issue. The issue that cropped up this week that so many people are having is with the very ideas that she's articulating, which is an entirely different issue and one that I think is worth talking about, given where we've found ourselves as a society and the state of our families and our children and the rest of our country along with it. So with that being said, I would genuinely like to know, for anybody that has seen this video and had something critical to say about it, the actual content of the video here. What exactly is she saying that is so offensive? What is so controversial? She says she doesn't go out at night by herself because she's had some situations before that made her feel uncomfortable. Again, whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But if it were, I certainly wouldn't be surprised. And why anybody else would be is, frankly, beyond me. Particularly feminists, after all, are they not the ones always complaining about women being objectified by just about every innocuous thing? I mean, if a woman says she's had some incidents in the past that made her uncomfortable when she was out and about alone in the dark, I mean... doesn't that sort of play into the left's, you know, all men are evil theory? I certainly don't subscribe to that. But you would think that leftists and feminists would be all about the idea that women aren't safe walking around alone, right? Lake and Riley sure as heck wasn't. You're definitely not if you live in a city run by Democrats. You're barely safe in the broad daylight sitting at a stoplight in your own vehicle. So I'm not really sure what the problem is here. What are you taking issue with that she's saying? She also says she has access to where her husband is all the time as well. So it's not like he's low-jacked his wife and then he gets to run all over town, which again, you know, I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, we don't use an app here in my home. I don't think most people do. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know anybody who has told me that they and their spouse use an app to share their whereabouts. I know they exist, though. So apparently some people use them. But even without an app, if my husband is not in the house, I know where he is. Is that a weird thing? Like, am I not clued in here? Is it odd that I know where he is at all times? It never occurred to me that that was a weird thing. If he's at work, I know where he is. If he's at the grocery store, if he, you know, goes out with a friend or two, I know where he's going. It would be really unheard of for him to just walk out of the house and not tell me where he's going. Like, you know, bye, babe, and then just get in his car and leave. I don't know. I feel like that's normal. I'm not seeing what's weird about what she's saying. She's not saying he's got me under lock and key. I'm not allowed to leave. She just says, I don't leave the house at night because I don't feel safe. And we know where the other one is whenever we're not together. I don't know. That seems normal to me. Just like I feel like it's normal when she says that she and her husband don't have opposite sex friends. Again, what I'm not hearing in this video is her saying that she's not allowed to talk to other men or have interactions with men in public. I'm not reading that as her saying that she has to keep her head down and, you know, avert her eyes whenever some guy passes her on the sidewalk. I'm just hearing her say that out of respect for one another and their relationship and understanding that adultery is a very real pitfall that people do find themselves in, she and her husband don't interact one-on-one with close friends of the opposite sex, which again, I feel like is a very normal thing. I have plenty of daily interactions with men other than my husband, whether it's a male coworker or one of the dads of a, you know, kid at my children's preschool or somebody at church or whatever. There are plenty of men that I talk to. There are plenty of men that I know pretty well, like the husbands at our small group at our church or, you know, my best friend's husbands who I see frequently. But even then, it never happens that I find myself hanging out with them alone. That would never be a thing. Not for me and not for them. If I'm with them, it's because I'm either in a communal space, again, like work or church or school or, you know, the grocery store, whatever. Or if we are hanging out socially, their wives are there. And typically so is my husband. We're not just, you know, palling around alone. Not only because there's no real reason to, but because it would be wildly inappropriate for me to be hanging out with some other guy while my husband's not there. And for that matter, all my husband's best friends are guys. Again, not saying he doesn't interact with women all the time, particularly at work, or, you know, that he doesn't have female friends from his college years or whatever, from when they were all single, or that he doesn't have, you know, that he's not friends with my friends that are females, but he doesn't have one-on-one private conversations with them. He doesn't hang out with them by themselves. And again, I don't see how any of that is odd. That's pretty much the norm for just about everyone I know. I remember being just absolutely baffled back in 2017 when Mike Pence, then vice president, said that he never dined alone with a woman who wasn't his wife, and leftists absolutely lost their ever-loving minds over that. Do you remember that? Some people even twisted his words to make it sound like he said he would never spend a single second alone in the presence of a woman who isn't his wife. That's not what he said. It was amazing to me, this whole thing, because I noticed, again, he never said he wouldn't speak with a woman one-on-one, or that if a woman on his staff needed to meet with him, and, you know, that he wouldn't do it, or that he could only have men in his presence. He simply said, I'm not going to sit down for a meal, which is a much more intimate setting than simply a meeting or a phone call or whatever, alone with a woman who isn't my wife. What in the world couldn't be hashed out in a different setting and would necessitate a dinner date? But leftists made it out to be this huge discriminatory statement, right? Well, he's not giving women on his staff a fair shot. This may even be, you know, illegal for him to do this, which is ridiculous. He's simply saying, I'm not going to be in an intimate personal setting one-on-one with a woman who isn't my wife. You know, first of all, because I'm not going to leave either one of us open to any temptation. Second of all, I don't want to leave our reputations open to even the question that something could have been going on. I don't want anybody to even think it. And that's a general consideration that I think a lot of married people follow by default. So again, I'm not understanding what in the world is controversial about this statement. It makes perfect sense. There's certainly nothing wrong or condemnable about it. I don't put myself in a situation where I'm alone in an intimate setting with a man who's not my husband out of respect for my husband and our relationship. And it's not just that I would never be unfaithful to my spouse. It's that I'm not going to leave myself open to the appearance of it, both for my husband's sake and for my own. And by the way, let's not pretend that infidelity is some rarity or some accident that just happens to other people. Studies from the past two decades show that adultery occurs in roughly a quarter of all marriages, one in four. Limiting your personal interactions with members of the opposite sex, if, you know, again, assuming you're in a traditional heterosexual relationship, not only helps protect your reputation, it also helps protect you from yourself, from finding yourself in a situation where you'd be tempted to betray your marriage. Whether you ever think that you would or not is not the point. You might think you would never do such a thing. You could hang out one-on-one with an opposite sex buddy on the regular and it would never even cross your mind. And I bet at one point or another, just about everyone who's found themselves up Adultery Creek with nary a paddle in sight thought the exact same thing. So again, I'm not finding this weird or abnormal. In fact, I think it's pretty advisable. And the fact that it's some hotly debated idea in our culture is amazing to me. But then again, it's not, you know, terribly shocking, because then again, it's a consideration that you give your spouse. And our society says that what you want and your happiness and your feelings and your desires, that's what matters. Regardless of whether it looks good or not, regardless of whether it stomps all over what somebody else wants or needs, that doesn't matter. Which brings me, by the way, to this woman's next point, which is apparently this insane notion that she wears clothes and styles her hair according to her husband's preferences most of the time. She very carefully points out that what he likes usually aligns with her style anyway, which would make sense in a marriage, right? I mean, you're not going to be attracted to somebody, you know, and marry someone who basically just represents the opposite of everything you like. So, you know, notice, by the way, that she doesn't say that she wears things that she hates just because her husband likes it. Like, you know, well, this burlap potato sack is awfully itchy, but hey, you know, he thinks it's hot. You know, I would love to take off these 5-inch heels when I'm planting the petunias, but my husband won't let me. She doesn't say anything like that. She simply says, look, I like making him happy. He likes it when I wear this kind of dress, which I like anyway, so I do it. It's an act of consideration that I show him that ultimately costs me nothing, so why wouldn't I? Again, why is this a bizarre notion? And by the way, to all the leftists who say that this is some weird subservience bordering on slavery, not only is that stupid and a wild misrepresentation of what's going on here, but don't tell me for a second that all of these, you know, enlightened women power banshees out here flying the feminist flag don't do the same crap. Women in Hollywood letting everything hang out, strutting around in, you know, dental floss and scotch tape, all of these award shows that we've seen over the last couple of months, and the absolute just trash that these people wear, are they doing that for them? Does anybody actually think that those women are doing that for them? Did Miley Cyrus at the Grammys or whatever it was a month or so ago, I'm not even sure, but I did see a photo. Did she wake up that morning and go, you know what? Just for me, because I want to, because it just looks so dang comfy. You know, I'm going to go to this hours-long shindig in this outfit made of safety pins because it's just so darn cute. No, she did not. She and every other woman strolling around with all of their, you know, body positivity and female empowerment popping out of the seams of their negligee, they're not doing that for them. That is all about caring what other people think. What they write, what photos will go viral, how outrageous, you know, I can be and how much attention I can suck from it before the next girl with bigger assets shows up in a top made out of bubbles or something. See, all that's fine. That's empowerment. That's bold. Showing off everything God gave you to the entire public full of complete strangers, that's okay. But saying, hey, look, I wear this color because my husband thinks it's pretty on me. You know, he likes my hair curly, so I throw it in rollers most nights. That's somehow this shocking and debasing thing. Really? But I'm sure that the most outrageous thing this lady said, again, assuming that she's being, you know, truthful here, but even regardless, the most outrageous thing that she said that I'm sure is what set most people's hair on fire is the notion that in her family, her husband is considered the head of the household, which is the biblical model for the family and possibly one of, if not the most misunderstood and intentionally misrepresented passages of scripture. Because again, in a society that says that it's all about you all the time, you know, in a culture that not only downplays, but absolutely dismisses the very notion that you would ever put yourself and your wants and your opinions in the back seat behind someone else's, this idea is about as revolting as expired fish sauce. And that's partially, I think, why families and our society in general is in the awful state that it's in. So this concept of the man as the head of the household and the wife submitting to her own husband, all of that, there are books that have been written on this subject, just volumes upon volumes written on this subject, hours of theological explanation and debate. There are marriage seminars focused on this issue, and I am certainly not going to cover every single nuance of this, but let me be very clear about something. In my house, which by the grace of God, I've built with my husband and our two children. My husband is the head of our household. That does not mean, nor should it mean, that he makes decisions, particularly large decisions, but frankly, any kind, without talking to me, without my input, without asking me what I think we should do. And typically, because we're one unit and we have generally the same goals and the same idea of where we're headed as a couple and as a family, generally speaking, we are in alignment. I don't think there's ever been a time when we've faced a big decision and we were just on, you know, complete polar opposite sides and unable to come to a consensus. But even still, being the head of the household does not mean that my husband just steamrolls over my thoughts or my opinions or my feelings or my dreams. As a matter of fact, he prioritizes them. And he makes sure we're on the same page before we do anything. But ultimately, I defer to where he feels like God is leading him and our family, because I have peace that that's where God is leading all of us to. See, here's the thing about the biblical model of a family. It's not in a vacuum. It's part of a cohesive system that starts with a faith in God. It's not just us out here on our own and we pick this blueprint and we're just, you know, making a go of it here. This is the structure that we chose out of a hat and we're giving it a whirl. God is the center of our family. He's the third cord in this strand, as the Bible says. So we're both, my husband and I, we are relying on him to direct us. And he's not going to direct my husband one way and then point me in the opposite. But when it comes to moving forward, when it comes to making up the backbone of providing for our family, when it comes to authority, where our children look for strength and direction, that's generally my husband. And as the wife, that doesn't put me in some inferior role. It doesn't make me less than. It just means that I'm best served elsewhere as the primary support system for my husband so that he can lead. So he has what he needs to guide his family along whatever path God is leading us down at that moment. And I say this as a pretty strongly opinionated woman who is probably about as unlikely to take being a doormat as you will ever find. If you have followed my work at all, I don't think you would ever say, I may be a lot of things, and some, you know, a lot of that may be very true, but I don't think that mild-mannered and weak is something that can ever be applied to me. I don't think that I'm just the lay down and take it, stomp all over me, and I'm just not going to say a word. I don't think that's what I give off. I don't think that that's who I am. I'm not sure that I could be that way even if I tried. So if your concept of a submissive wife or a husband as the head of a household means that the wife is some weakling who's basically been reduced to an indentured servant in her own home, I can assure you that that's far from the truth, because if it were, that would not work for me. That would not work for me, and it would not work for the personality that God has given me. So that's baffling to me that people can willfully twist this, because they can look at women that actually follow this model, and we're not all just simpering fools who are just barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen all the time. And so that's ridiculous. And people who don't understand the biblical structure here, people who don't share this faith and don't understand what it means to rely on God, this is hard for them to understand. And they end up with a warped perception of what all of this means. They see a man walking on a woman like a doormat and dragging her along, whether she wants to go or not. That's how people who don't share our faith sometimes see this, and it's factually incorrect and ignorant. But they get that sense because, again, our society has pushed this idea that your happiness and your bliss and what you want at any given moment, even if that changes, even if it's flighty or, you know, it's inconsistent or very bad for you, this is the most important thing, right? Your happiness. It's all about you. You are the center of the universe. What you want is the most important thing. Chase what makes you happy. So, of course, a worldview that says wives submit to your own husband, a worldview that puts spouses in, you know, in service roles to one another is immediately going to make people gag. By the way, the same passage also tells husbands to love their wives even to the point of dying for them. So it's not exactly like they get off without any responsibility here. There's an onus on both partners to sacrificially serve one another. But of course, that part usually gets left out. So that's all this woman is saying, right? Going back to Estee Williams here and saying, look, my husband is the head of the household. He doesn't trample on me. He doesn't treat me like garbage. Not like I'm not allowed to have a voice here. The fact that she says, look, I respect my husband by making fidelity not just a promise, but a high priority. I make sure he never has reason to question it. I love him enough to do the things that he likes. I recognize his role in our family that God has given him, just as he recognizes mine, and we work together. She's not saying everyone has to live this way. And again, she's selling a brand by virtue of posting this video in and of itself, but she never claims that this is the only way to do life. She's simply explaining how she and her husband have decided to structure their home. And somehow this has sparked this massive controversy online of people just trashing this woman and anybody like her and this whole entire mentality, this whole entire trad wife movement. Again, not for whether the video is genuine or the aesthetic that she's clearly selling here, like everybody else, but for the actual content of the ideas she's giving a voice to, because they are unfeminist, right? And look, you don't have to bring back 1950s fashion and make nothing but, you know, all from scratch recipes and have a sourdough starter brewing away on your spotless kitchen counter that, you know, is full of rustic farm equipment to understand that as a society, we have clearly lost something and people are feeling it. We're seeing the effects, particularly among women. We're seeing the deterioration of families. It's interesting, if you read the articles trying to suss out the reason behind increasing unhappiness among women, they point to just about every single thing they can to avoid talking about the actual problem. They talk about, the fictitious gender pay gap. Well, maybe it's not that women, you know, are having trouble balancing home life and work life. Maybe it's because they're just not getting paid as much as men. And of course, that whole entire thing has been wildly debunked. The gender pay gap does not exist. There is no sex discrimination happening. If there is, and you believe that you're a victim of it, then you need to go seek a lawyer and you need to go to court because it's illegal and has been for nigh on 60 years now. That's not a thing, but that gets blamed. You know, maybe women just feel like they're not taken seriously in the workplace. That's another thing that's tossed out. Well, maybe if they were just treated with more respect, or, you know, actually one article that I came across said that women quite possibly may be unhappier now than they used to be because there are so many men incarcerated that it's putting pressure on women. Right? All their baby daddies are in jail. And that's just really stressing ladies out. I know we've got a lot of incarcerated people in the United States, but are you honestly telling me that there are so many men in prison that it is driving down the general unhappiness of women en masse? Really? That's what you're going to go with. And you see it time and time again, searching for any explanation for why this is happening other than the one that's staring us right in the face. And instead, we teach the exact opposite. We teach it through our entertainment, our education system, our politics, the idea that traditional marriage is outdated, that, you know, your spouse's job is to make you happy all the time, that children are a commodity to be bought and sold and traded and discarded depending on your preferences or whether or not they fit the bill of, you know, what you were looking for in a kid, whether they've got a disability, whether they were the right gender. It's all about you, your family. Again, if you even bother to have one, because why would you? That shouldn't be your top priority. Your happiness, your career, your dreams, that's the sun that all your other stuff should revolve around. And in fact, your sexual orientation and your identity can be whatever you want, because of course God didn't create you as a specifically designed being for a particular purpose. That's what we teach. It is all about you and what you want and how you feel all the time. And then when we see the effects of it, we try to find everything else to blame. And we wonder why we're all anxious and depressed and why marriages are falling apart left, right, and sideways, why so many people aren't even bothering to have relationships in the first place, why so many married people end up cheating, why kids are reporting record high levels of mental health problems, and why women are abjectly miserable despite having spent years chasing all the things that we've told them to chase that will supposedly make them happy. And now as a society, we are all simmering like a pressure cooker about to explode all the time because we're not living the way we were designed to live. And then when somebody like this comes along, Estee Williams or anybody else, regardless of whether the Carol Brady aesthetic is real or not, and says, hey, you know, there's a better, simpler, more stable way of doing life than this rat race you've all gone into. Millions of people who are looking for a solution to their misery flock to it, thinking there must be something better. There must be some way of doing this better. And see, that threatens the whole paradigm, doesn't it? But there's a reason this is happening. There's a reason these videos catch fire. And there's a reason why so many people have so much critical to say and try to poke holes in the most innocent and realistic of statements about marriage, about women, about gender. We can't pull back the curtain on the damage that all of this progressivism has done to our society, to people, to our psyche, to our children. So instead, we have to dismantle this, right? We have to pick it apart as some antiquated notion, and you are a moron if you buy into it. You're not a moron. You're not a moron. If feminism, if women competing with men to do everything that men can do, rather than recognizing that women were designed to do everything that men cannot do, if all that progressivism, if that feminism, if that pathway actually led to happiness, led to success, led to women being at peace with themselves and their lives, we would be seeing that. And instead, we're seeing the exact opposite. So again, just to be very, very, very clear here, I am not saying that the whole trad wife trend on Instagram or TikTok is something to be envied or copied. Again, that is largely an aesthetic. That is largely, it's a scene that is being popularized and it's being marketed to people. And like I discussed at the beginning of this podcast, the dangers of, you know, feeling discontent with your own life or trying to model yourself after what somebody else puts on social media as the ideal. A lot of that has more to do with the look of something or, a specific image that's being captured. What I'm talking about is digging deeper into the root of why this has become such a popular thing. And the fact that even something that is being marketed almost as a gimmick by a lot of people and a lot of these influencers, it has roots in genuine unhappiness that so many women are feeling and are trying to find an alternative to. And there is an alternative that is biblical, that is rooted in truth, that is rooted in a structure that was created for us to operate within, that goes to the root of who we are as men and women and how we were designed to be. Not 1950s cosplaying, not wearing the, you know, certain shade of lipstick or whatever, but actual biblical mandates and a framework for marriage and a family that I do think as a society we have largely abandoned and to our own detriment. And with that, that's the Brittany Hughes Show. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll be back with me next Thursday. In the meantime, head on over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button on the Brittany Hughes Show. That way you won't ever miss an episode. Also subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast with Tim Graham. That one's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'll see you guys back here next Thursday. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and a blessed week ahead.